You are listening to Omnus Protocol. I am Charles, also known as Omnus, and I'm here with Tyson, our LVO Grandmaster. What's going on, Tyson?
Hey, hello. Not too much. Looking forward to hanging with you this evening.
Have you been permanently changed by all the 3D printing fumes?
Oh, no, actually, they've all been exiled to the garage.
Oh, nice.
And PLA is pretty safe because it's actually just sugar. It's like processed corn. But I am doing a bunch of ABS printing right now. So yeah, they've all been moved to the garage. And my wife loves it because now the office is quiet instead of...
I was just going to say, I'm sure Belle loves that.
Yes. Yeah. Instead of the office and the adjoining wall and room humming with vibrations. Yeah, exactly.
You're like a factory, sci-fi factory.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, listeners, Tyson is on the episode because it is that time of the year where we just kind of want to fill everyone in on the LVO stuff because some people just don't see the stuff online and some people absorb information better, you know, audibly. And so we just figure this is a good time to get out the information. We were actually going to wait a couple of weeks and then, man, this week a bunch of questions have come in. So we were just like...
It's getting close and people are starting to make plans and, you know, next month's December. And so everyone's kind of usually busy that month. So I think this is kind of the planning month for everyone right now.
And LVO is a week earlier than it usually is. And so we truly are coming up on it pretty fast. So, first off, the dates, you know, January, 18th, 19th, 20th.
Oh gosh!
Or 19th, 20th, 21st. But that weekend.
That weekend. Yeah. That's the one thing I don't have in my document. Actually, it doesn't have the dates on it. But yeah, 19th, 20th, and 21st.
Okay. Yeah, I knew it was. I was pretty sure it ended on the 21st, but somehow my brain thought it started on the 18th. But maybe it's because the 18th is always our setup day. That's our Thursday. Get in. You and I go spend a ridiculous amount of money on a burger inside the Rio and wait for FLG to get out all the mats for us.
Yep. Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll have more of the restaurants open. Actually, more of the restaurants were open last year, I think, too. But yeah, the full Rio should be all up and humming at this point.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Well, Tyson, why don't we start off with you kind of have a procedure that you go through this time of year involving checking with everyone who's qualified, verifying who's going, and then after that, you get to go through the points list to determine who else is going to make the initial 59. Yeah.
Yes.
The initial 59 or so.
Yeah, 58, something like that. But yeah.
Yeah. 59 when you count Vince.
Yeah.
So why don't you kind of break down what you need from players, what they should be watching for, when you should expect contact regarding points, that sort of thing.
Okay. When someone qualifies for an event, which is what they've won, we have two types of events, you know, full qualifiers where if you win, you get a spot at the LVO championship, and then there's points only events where you just accrue points. So if you've won one of those events that's a full qualifier, you should have received an email from admin@lvois.com that says, hey, you're coming, you know, welcome to LVO. You're in the championship. Are you coming? Do you have a ticket? And if you've answered yes to that on the website itself, so there's the points list, which is a giant Excel doc with everyone's points. It also lists if you're coming. And so the people I've heard back from listed, there's a column there that says, are you coming? And it says, yes. So if you look at that and by your name, it says no, that means I haven't heard from you. I will be following up again probably in the next week or two to bug people because I know people have made, you know, waiting to make plans, life's busy, all that kind of stuff, and they haven't gotten back to me. So at probably coming up December 1st, if I don't hear from people, they're going to get a last ping. And then after that, I'm start filling their places with the points people. I take the highest points first and work my way down. I will send usually emails out in batches of 10 to the points people say, hey, are you even available? Do you want to come? So then I can get a roster of people that are available. And then I start pulling, you know, say, hey, you're in, hey, you're in, hey, you're in. And I start adding them in to backfill for the people that either aren't coming because they can't, or I just never heard from. You know, last year, there's probably like 3 or 4 people that I just never heard from. You know, life happens, stuff happens. They don't care. They move out from the game, which is fine. But so if you want to come and you know you're qualified, and you look at the list, I suggest everyone look at the list, the points list on lvois.com. There's a player's point section there. And if it doesn't say a yes by your name, then please reach out to me and we will get that sorted.
Sweet. Out of curiosity, when you hear back from someone, because I don't think I actually know the answer to this question, but if, say, Bob reaches out to you and is like, hey, I am not coming, do you immediately reach out to the people on the points list, like start going down the list, or does that all happen at once?
No, it pretty much all happens at once. As we get near the end of the year, I can start going. But since the points list is fluctuating depending on events that people go to, if I go too far, like I could probably take the top 3 or 4 and not worry about it. But the, you know, it's not the apocalypse, but it, like, it would be really feels bad for someone. I say, hey, you're in, and they make all the plans, and I go, well, actually, someone went to a big event and scored like 30 points and leapfrogged you, and now you're not, maybe. So yeah. I don't want to have that situation come up. And so that's also why we usually end up with, you know, we have 5 players that qualify from the LCQ at LVO, which we'll talk about. But quite often we end up taking more just because I only go a certain distance down the points list and then I'll stop. Because if you went to one event and it was worth like 8 points, you know, that's really not enough to get you into the championship. So.
Yeah, totally fair. Do you happen to know right now, like, how many people have told you they're not coming so far? So just for the listeners who are like banking on the points and they're really hoping they get in, you know, do you have 4 or 5 that you already know are not coming?
I have 2 no's, and those are actually posted on there too. So I have 2 no's, but then I have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 18. I haven't heard from like 20 people.
Okay.
So, and I'm going to start bugging them soon. Probably this weekend, those emails will go out to check in. And then from there, we'll start moving down the points. And, you know, I'll send out like batches of like 10 emails saying, hey, are you even available to come? And then we'll go from there.
Makes sense. And just one more time on the dates. When do you expect the points emails to start going out?
Points emails will start going out at the latest December 1st. So you have, you know, that gives you 7 weeks to plan.
Awesome.
So like 2 months to plan. So actually I might go just after Thanksgiving. So you get like a full 2 months to plan.
Makes sense. Okay. So for the people who are qualified or get in on points, one of the other kind of hangups, and we were very nervous about this Friday of last year, because we needed to know how many people to accept from the LCQ, right? The Friday, there's an event. It's the last chance to qualify for the Invitational. There's 5 spots, but then whoever hasn't shown up, we fill from the LCQ. And there is a couple of people where we were waiting until the last minute to kind of know whether or not they were coming. And so the main thing that we really want from people is Friday to kind of check in with me so that I can officially add you to the Longshanks. So you just find Charles, find Omnus, and I will put you in and mark you off the list. Now, if you're someone who's going to fly in Friday night, totally fine. If you shoot me a Discord message and include your real name and say, hey, I'm Bob Johnson. I'm flying in tonight, but 100% I'm at the airport. I'm good to go. I'm going to be there. That sort of thing, just so we have that exact count, because come 7 p.m., there's going to be a cutoff, and I really would just hate it if someone flew to LVO and then arrives Friday night, doesn't check in, and shows up Saturday morning thinking that they're in the Invitational, because it's just not going to work that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we just, you know, we need to know you're there from that weekend. And also give give Charles your Discord number, too, when you contact him. So he has a way to add you if you have an alias on Discord.
Yes,
absolutely. Sorry, of Longshanks, your Longshanks number.
The Longshanks number. And then we're also going to lock in the lists that night. We're not going to share them like we did last year, but because we're going to post them probably 6 or 7 a.m., we want to be totally done with verifying that all of the lists are in. Yep. And so say a hard cutoff of 10 p.m.
Yeah, I think it's in our document here. Let's see here. But it's something like that. 9, 10 p.m. Is when final lists are due. And then we lock it in. And then somewhere around 6 or 7 a.m., pairings and lists go up. So we're doing it early in the morning. So we're helping the people that can't help themselves from agonizing over pairings that evening not have to worry about it.
Yeah, we'll get into it when we're talking about the LCQ. We are kind of starting it 1 hour earlier than last year, again, to give people a little bit more time in the evening to hang out and, you know, do things and, you know, go to dinner in Vegas, grab beers with your people, that sort of thing. And we really want people to be able to enjoy their evenings. You know, they flew out, they get to see, you know, the other players, have those opportunities. And we decided we're not really getting that much from it. Plus, the person who was kind of breaking down all the stats and stuff for us is gone. And I think what we're going to do this year is one of the LVO assistants will be tasked with going through and creating the coded list for anyone who puts it in normally, so that in the end, we just have all of the data in Longshanks.
Yeah. And to note on that, if you do use any of the list builders, please copy paste in the MTC or what was the short, the coded list roster. Yeah,
I forget what it's called.
Yeah. But you know, if you pop that in, that makes all the stats and all the coding on the back end really easy for people, if you can do that for us.
Yeah. If you can put it in, please do. We understand not everyone uses list builders. I don't. I text myself, or I honestly have this weird thing where I like writing out lists on graph paper.
Charles, you're such a Luddite. Oh my gosh.
I know. No, I'm so old, but there's just something I really like looking at the cards and having them in my hand and have like, okay, I've got 12 cards and one of these needs to come out. There's just something about it that helps my process. But maybe I'm just old.
No, that's totally legitimate. But then once you're done, put it in a list builder.
Honestly, most of the time I remember it.
You're much better than I am.
Yeah, I generally know what the list is. Like after I go through that process, outside of sometimes where I have to keep track of like, what was that 10th tactics card? But usually I just send myself a quick text with the info just so that if I need a backup, I have it. Or if it's something I'm not immediately going to play. But I think that covers the kind of just pre-major warning stuff that we wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of.
Yes. Yeah. The really important stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the LCQ.
Sure.
So we decided this year we're going to kind of start official registration at 8 a.m. Then judge speech 8:45, and then start at 9. We're going to do the 2-hour rounds just like we've done before. And so that's the, you know, you've got 10 minutes to get to the table, do your pregame stuff, and then start the clock. Along the slip. Are we 45 minutes each or 50 minutes each?
45.
Yeah. 45 minutes each. And then pause for cleanup. And then you have a little bit of wrap up time. And that should make sure that all the rounds are kicking off right at the hour. So first one starts at 9. The next one will start at 11. There's not going to be a lunch break or anything like that on Friday. So be prepared.
Yeah.
Have
Bring
a
your
snack.
Snacks. Yep.
That one's going to be a bit of a grind.
Most events won't have a lunch break, just because at a large convention, you really can't do that. with the way timing works and event timings and all that other stuff. There's a lot of logistic problems that come up when you stop for lunch. But, you know, have friends bring stuff, bring snacks, bring water, you know, all your typical con preparedness stuff. You know, eat even though you don't feel like it because you need the brain calories, all that good stuff.
Yeah, please do. I would expect that we probably go five rounds again. I mean, there's a small chance that we could need a sixth, but it's likely to go five, and we will be under the amount of undefeated that we need. You know, once there's less undefeated than what we need for the list, then we go undefeated, and then we'll start grabbing X and ones to fill the remaining slots.
Yep.
And
ideally, we try to get to X and ones as far as the amount of rounds we need, if we can make it work. That way, if you do lose a round early you still want to grind it all the way through, there's a chance you can still make it in with dropping a game.
Yeah. I mean, I suspect that we're going to have a little bit better attendance than we did the prior year. But with that said, we had 1-3-2 last year make it in from the LCQ. And yes, it was not the first ranked 3-2. It was the highest ranked 3-2 who was still there.
Yes. And so that might have been like the fourth one down or something.
It was pretty far down. There was at least 5, 6, 7 or something 3-2s that were above. We were calling people. It was actually pretty funny. It was one of my favorite moments from the whole thing. When we got that person in and they got to be, you know, the 64th player, it was exciting. And so it's just a, hey, if there's that small chance that a 3-2 gets in, and during the LCQ, feel free to come up to me and go, hey, how are things looking? About how far down do you think it's going to go? And I'll give you my estimate, because we are, you know, at the time I'm hearing back from players, either confirming that they're coming, confirming that they're not coming. And I will have at least a rough idea of about how far down it will go. And I'm happy to share that information, you know, as long as you understand that a lot of times that is not an exact number, but I'll give you a rough idea. And you can use that to gauge if you want to stick around or not.
Yep. So is there anything else? And actually, one thing I should make note of for everyone, we're playing standard MCP all weekend, except for when noted in the special events. But we also have the community document, which is on the LVOIS.com website, that also has all our extra steps as far as how we expect people to play, how we expect people to move models, a lot of the stuff that's not covered in the challenger document. How do you do round timing the way we're going to do it? How do you use death clock timing and what's allowed? And all the little bits, you know, if you ever have problems at your tables, you know, call a judge, you know, all the little bits and the nuances that happen at a convention are all in there for you to go over and familiarize yourself with, too.
Yeah, and also, Tyson and I are totally willing to make judge calls on things preemptively if AMG has not ruled on something yet. I believe the only thing that's lingering right now is Red Skull 3's leadership. And we'll make it clear right now, we're going to play it just like the reality gem. It's going to trigger at the reality gem step. It's going to play out like the reality gem step, unless AMG rules differently. And we will make an official announcement if AMG doesn't say something and we're getting to 2 weeks out. We're going to officially say this is exactly how we're going to resolve this leadership if they don't make a ruling on the time, or if there's something else that has come up and you've asked a question in the AMG rules forums and they just haven't been able to answer it yet, feel free to reach out to me or Tyson, and we will come up with a ruling to at least so people can plan accordingly for LVO.
Yep.
The other thing for the LCQ is just keep in mind that when the event ends, you're going to be putting in your roster basically right away. So be prepared, be thinking about that as the LCQ goes on. You are not going to have a big window at the end of it before your roster is going to be due in Longshanks.
Yeah, and actually, as far as that goes on the, at least the document for the event, I have lists are due 1 hour after the last round of the LCQ, which is maybe around 8 p.m. or so. And then that gives us time to check lists, you know, a few hours to check lists and edit any MTQ codes or whatever those are called. And then we move on from there.
Sounds good. All right. Well, let's talk about the Invitational. So the major, I guess not a major change, but we're pushing the Saturday start time forward. It's the same start time as Sunday, and yep. give people a little bit extra time Saturday evening to see a show or go out for dinner. And so it will also be like a dice at 9:00 and yep. so judge speech, H45, you know, most everyone should be checked in, but I will be there by 8:00. If you come in, you have questions, you know, want to double check things, you know, all of that stuff can happen between 8 and 9.
Yep. Fully painted rosters are required for the championship. Yep. Doesn't, you know, basic 3-color, you know, we're not super stingy about it. Just, you know, have some color on there, have some paint on there, and we'll be good to go.
Yeah. Have you made just like a genuine effort to this model has paint, there's a skin tone, there's some basic colors on the costume. You're not being judged on the quality.
Yeah, your base is painted. Yeah. You know, just cover everything with a color.
Yeah. You can have gray bases, you know, blue costume, a face color, you know, and you're pretty golden.
Yes.
And appreciate the effort. And I know this is a thing that can be a little off-putting for some people, but, you know, we've got other cons that require fully painted for everything.
Yes.
And every time we do this, multiple people come up that they actually had a lot of fun getting to play their list fully painted, and it really pushed them to want to play painted more often and how much they actually enjoyed it. And then ended up thanking us for giving them that extra shove that made them start playing with some painted models. And it does elevate the game experience a little bit. And because we're going to have professional casual streaming this stuff, it is so much easier to see when there's color on the models.
Yes. Yeah. And it, everyone has a much better time playing against better painted models too, which is nice.
For sure. We will still have the 1-hour breaks. This is something that we're going to retain. There's still the painting competition that we'll talk about, which is going to go on during it. With the nature of the interviews, we want to make sure the people who are winning are staying refreshed and do not feel that the interviews with Professional Casual or any of the other content creators is holding them back from being able to win their next game. And so we're just asking players to kind of plan for that, plan accordingly, figure out what you want to do between rounds. And also, this is still a call out to other content creators. Feel free to reach out to Tyson or myself if you want to do some sort of interviews. We will have some space, potentially set some over the tables, send players your direction. If you want to do interviews at LVO, we want this to be a thing for the community and to give back to the community and help the players who are not there still get to experience the event in some way.
Yeah, because it is the kind of the culmination of a year of, gosh, I think I have over 100 qualifier events, either points and or full qualifiers that participated this year. So there's a lot of people that have, you know, either purposefully or tertiary participated in this, the LVO Championship Series. And so, you know, building up to this, we definitely want to be able to share and have as many people involved in, you know, producing content and enjoying the weekend and, you know, telling people how awesome it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do think that this may take still a little bit of time to build on. But I think it's something that could become really special down the road with just the ability to raise up the content creation part and really push people to their best, even though they had a really stressful game, that they can unwind for a little bit and get refreshed and be ready. Cause sometimes you just bounce right into the next game. You do not feel refreshed. And then you're just playing from a point of disadvantage just cause your last game was so tough. And honestly, the tough games are what we're here for. That's why you come to LVO, is you want those good games. But it just sucks when one of those drags down your next one. And so,
yeah. And the extra 1-hour break gives us, you know, basically it's for podcasters to do interviews, for painting awards, for people to actually go get food, take breaks, go to the bathroom, re-energize, but also plan you're going to have extra time that, more than you're used to. So, you know, bring food, be ready, you know, go take a walk. Just don't, you know, sit there and get tired. And because that was a comment, you know, we had some comments and that we listened to as far as, you know, why you thought that was a bad idea. And we're like, well, we think this is better because of this. And also just plan for the break is, you know, the main part of it.
Yeah. And I mean, there's still a good chance that you're going to be done by 5 o'clock.
Yes. Yeah. You because know, we're only playing three rounds the first day.
Yep.
And then we play three rounds the second day. And the nice thing is with extra break, like everything runs on time. You know when the rounds start. So you can go disappear, go do some stuff, set the alarm on your clock and, you know, be back right when, you know, be back 5 minutes before we start and we're good to go.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, with, you know, getting out at five, we that's part of why we pushed it forward an hour, just so that people who do want to get out and do a show or have plenty of time to like go somewhere offsite for dinner and that sort of thing, that yep. that works out a little bit better timing wise.
Yeah, because we want you to have fun also and not feel like you're locked into the convention hall, you know, until midnight, like we used to do in the old War Machine days. I'm too old for that stuff anymore.
Yes. Oh, man. Well, I thought I was too old for that until I went to WTC.
Well, you know, that's a whole... Well, we'll save that for the bonus episode.
Yeah. We are doing the brackets again.
Yep.
That was pretty well received across the board. I think it was fun for people. It didn't really detract in any meaningful way. We're still not going to do any kind of seeded bracket. We're not using Longshank rankings or anything for that. It is going to be a random bracket system, just like it was last year.
Yep. And then we continue, just to stay on the championship, we continue into on the last three rounds on Sunday.
Yep.
Starting at the same time. And then we play the last three rounds and then we do the winner. And usually the con's kind of cleaned up by then. But we're usually done about 5:30, 6 o'clock by the time everything's all wrapped up for the championship. And then we will have best of faction coins available for all the people who participated in the championship. And so if you want to play for best of faction, try to be there. Last year I mailed some to some people that weren't there, which is fine too.
It can also be something if you let us know that you're leaving, but one of your friends is sticking around and we can give the coin to them, that sort of thing. That's okay. Just let me know. You know, we're happy to work. Some people are going to fly out Sunday nights. That's just going to be a thing.
Yes.
Yeah, right, well, anything else?
Don't do an early flight. You know, don't do a 6 o'clock plane flight. We've had some people in the past from other events. It's like, hey, I'm in finals and I'm at the top table and my flight's scheduled for 6. this game needs to be over in 30 minutes. I'm like, well, all right, try to win in 30 minutes. But so, you know, try to schedule your flights accordingly. I know people have to get back to lives on Monday morning and stuff like that.
Well, we are still planning to do the Sunday night VIP party.
Well, yes. Oh, I guess we could talk about that. Yeah. So I have some logistics to figure out on our end, but we'll have tickets for it. So we want to do a Sunday night get together for everyone, where we'll rent a room. It'll be probably like a boardroom conference room kind of deal. So we have a bunch of chairs, bunch of tables, a bar, stuff like that. And everyone that wants to come can hang out. We're going to buy food. We're going to buy drinks. We're going to buy snacks. And so we'll have a bunch of stuff for people to eat there. I mean, the food's probably like pizza and other like hors d'oeuvres and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So nothing super fancy. But then we'll have some separation anxiety set up. And it just gives people a place to like hang out and chill, eat and drink, where we're not at like one of the super loud, busy restaurants or have to go off site. We can talk about MCP, you know, everyone's who can rehash your games from the weekend and just have a generally chill time. That's the plan. And we'll have a separate ticket that goes up for that because I'll have to figure out how many people I can actually have there, which will, you know, probably still be like, you know, 40, 50 people, and just the cover cost of food and drinks and all that other good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And the main thing that we noticed is that there's a lot of people who wanted to hang out, talk MCP, play some games, have a beer, and there really wasn't a great spot to do it last year. And so this is something we thought we could really improve upon the experience if there was a cool hangout Sunday night and away from the smoking areas and such was a big deal too. And we just didn't want to spend $10 a beer to sit in a smoking area and barely be able to hear anyone.
Yeah, it's going to be your cheapest meal the whole weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm sure the ticket is less money than most of the meals in Vegas.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to see how that goes. I mean, I'm 100% going to be hanging out. So if you want to swing by and say hi to Omnis, I will 100% be there. Just chilling, hanging out with everybody, maybe getting my separation anxiety on. So I am pretty excited for that.
Yeah, no, that should be a lot of fun. I got some logistics to figure out on my end, but that is definitely something we want to do.
Well, you are our hero, so thank you for all of that.
Well, thank you. I think this was your idea, though, too, so you have great ideas.
Yeah, I'm happy to bestow ideas on you and then handle the major logistics with online gaming.
Here's this cool thing that we want to do, Tyson. All right, but now go figure it out.
Yeah, I'm a creative. I'm not the manufacturer. So, let's get to some of the other stuff. So there is a bunch of side events and such that we're doing. We decided to add the affiliation battle. Or let's back up a step.
Okay.
We're going to do scrambles the whole weekend.
The people that don't know, what is a scramble?
Right. And so a scramble is just kind of our nickname for a kind of improvisational tournament where the idea will be, say, we'll have one scheduled for noon on Friday.
And actually 11, continue.
Okay. Well, we'll probably have multiple start times for them, but the idea will be you show up at 11 and, you know, we get to 8 people, that fires off a tournament. We're going to have a 3-round tournament for those 8 people. And then we'll start filling up another one. Last year, we ran into the issue that nobody really knew when to show up for them. And so that got kind of awkward. And so we're going to have some tentative start times to try to start things firing so people have kind of a rough idea. And the problem we ran into last year was that, you know, we'd get one fired and then people would show up and find out that the first one already fired. And then they didn't know when there was going to be enough people. And
Or we'd start one and you're missing one person. And, you know, so it's I have some set start times that we have posted. And then we will be starting scrambles at those times. But if we have other times where there's like 8 people that want to play, like we'll just start one. And it can be 8 or more people too. We're not capped at 8. We'll play 3 rounds. And it's a good way to get games. If you don't want to do the whole thing of walking down the aisles and going, hey, you want a game? Hey, you want a game? Hey, you want a game? And after about the third or fourth no, you start getting like, this stinks. And so we are there to help you find games, either through single matchups or, you know, through these scrambles too. You know, so if you're like, hey, and you don't, you know, because, you know, a lot of us are kind of, you know, quiet nerds. But if you have the type A personalities that'll do the work for you. And so we'll go along and I'll walk the rows. And I did that last year. I'm like, hey, you want to play? Hey, you want to play? Hey, you want to play? And I'll find someone. I'll drag them over to the wall where you're hanging out. I'll say, hey, you guys are playing. And off you go. So we're more than happy to help you get games.
For sure. And so there's going to be those going on. So if on Saturday or Sunday you don't like the side events that we're doing, you will still just be able to play normal MCP. In addition, the plan is for the whole weekend, there's going to be, I think we decided on about 4 separation anxiety tables.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the plan right now.
Yeah, so there'll basically be one row that is just going to be separation anxiety tables that'll have the OP kit there for you to use, or you'll just grab it from us at the judge table. And the plan is that there's going to be frontline gaming mats that will have the whole layout printed. So not the normal layout, but just the separation anxiety layout to make it very easy for you to show up, put down the tokens, and just get right into the super fun all versus all separation anxiety games. And so if you want to do those, and we'll also do signups if people are looking, you know, hey, we've got 2 people, we need a couple more people, we'll do signups like that for separation anxiety at the judge desk as well. And that will be available literally the entire con.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of fun. We played that at Adepticon, and it was a hoot.
Yeah, it was a blast. Yeah. I forgot about that. Our very last Adepticon game was a round of that. I won that one playing Weapon X.
You might have. I just remember playing Magneto and Juggernaut and just throwing everything forever. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I remember I was like, I'm not going to play Storm because my leadership basically doesn't function in this. What else can I play? I think I played Weapon X with Logan X-23 and then Shadowlands Daredevil and the ninjas. And that ended up being really good.
Well, and also at a certain point, you know, everyone's getting really close to winning. So it's a matter of like, how do we stop you from winning? Oh, but then this person's going to win. Yeah. So at a certain point, you hit like critical mass of points and someone's going to win. Like Munchkin. You just keep teaming up on whoever's ahead.
It's just super brutal. Characters die. If you haven't played it and you get to do your first one at LVO, it is an absolute blast. So those things are going to go on the whole time. Again, these are just things that we wanted to improve to make sure that everybody always gets to have fun playing MCP. So past that, we've got some side events also scheduled.
Yep.
So starting at 10 a.m. on Friday, there's going to be an affiliation battle. And so the way that this works is it's going to be very similar to what Adepticon runs. You can only play your affiliated characters. But if you are playing an affiliation who doesn't have a full list of 10, so say Winter Guard, for instance, they can also take the rogue agents like Taskmaster and Bucky. And you're just going to play battles with just your affiliated characters, which is often one of the most fun kind of alternate formats in all of MCP. And Tyson, we decided right before this episode, we were going to do something special for Sentinels because we're like, okay, Dark Dimension, you can't really play it. Three characters is not enough. It doesn't really function. You also can't play Hellfire Club because you only have one character, but Sentinels are the closest to being a real affiliation that are sitting at four characters. So Tyson, do you want to tell the listeners what we decided to do for Sentinels to spice this up just a little?
So you get all the robots. So you get the Ultrons, you're going to get Vision, and then you're going to get Nebula, right?
Yeah.
And we figure that'll be kind of fun because people love Sentinels. And like, I wouldn't hate playing against that list. You know, that's not a list where you're saying, oh, that's no fair.
Yeah.
So if someone wants to rep Sentinels, they can rep Sentinels with all the robots. I think that'll be a little fun. We'll see.
Yeah, honestly, I think it would be super cool if we ended up with someone who painted those to kind of match the Sentinel scheme or something, like seeing Sentinel Vision and stuff, just like all the little
Sentinel drones, like the Sentinel Ultron drones.
I want to add one more to the list. We should give them Arnon Zola as well. He should also qualify as a robot. And that gives him a robot. Three.
Okay. Well, so remind me when I'm done for me to go and edit this into the document too, so people have it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that'll be a fun, weird mix if someone wants to do it. So that is the affiliation battle. And then Tyson and I had kind of a lengthy discussion after the announcement of the timelines format. And we decided that we are going to have a timeline event. It's going to start basically 1 hour after the invitational starts on Saturday.
Yep.
So this is going to be like kind of dice at 10 a.m. and, you know, three rounds. The way that timeline works gets a little bit weird with their cut rules and that sort of thing. And so we're going to play things a little bit by ear with the timeline. If we get 16 people and we do the three rounds on Saturday and everyone's kind of done with it at that point, we're just going to end it and be like, hey, there's the team event and stuff on Sunday, which we will get to talking about. But if we have 50 people and then 40 of them want to keep playing on Sunday, we're not going to just cut down to a top 16. We're going to keep it going. And
yeah, there's no reason not to play. I mean, in our opinion, to not play through. Because with the way LVO works, we have tables for everyone that bought a ticket. So we're not space restricted on events like some other events may be.
Yeah. So there's going to be a kind of a meeting. This will probably be headed by Lexa, where at the end of the Timelines event on Saturday, kind of gather up all the players and be like, all right, who wants to keep going into tomorrow? And if it does end up where we have kind of like a really nice cut to 16, you know, we're going to kind of work out those details. And if a couple people are going to drop for team event, then cool, we'll take the 17th and 18th player. We'll play around with that stuff so that people who want to play can play. Let's see. Was there anything else with the timelines? Oh, we're not going to require fully painted for that.
No.
I think their document might say that. I forget.
Oh, exactly. Okay. Yeah. Our only event that requires fully painted will be the championship. Everything else is. We'd like you to be painted, and also, depending what prizes and stuff I have available, typically prizes only go to painted armies. So that is my passive aggressive way of encouraging you to at least put some paint on your models. We won't stop you from playing, but you might not get any prizes if you're not painted. Yeah.
We also are electing to start this event before gymnastics. So because we have literally no idea what the interest level is going to be, right?
Yes.
This, we could end up with 100 people who want to play. We could end up with 3. We literally have no idea. There's some people who have expressed interest, but how many people show up in that moment ready to play, we don't know. But we're starting it first so that if it does have a low amount of people and people decide they'd rather play in gymnastics or that sort of thing, it's not something where it's going to start after the other stuff, so that if you waited for it, you get screwed out of playing in the other things because you thought more people were going to show up. So this keeps it in kind of the most flexible spot so we can do based on what the players want to do. Tyson, did you have anything else you wanted to say on timelines?
I don't think so. I think it looks like an interesting format, and there's been some people, as we've been talking about doing it, that were like, oh, this looks so fun. I want to do this. And I think it's going to be a good event for maybe not even the casual people, but it's a different flavor of MCP. So, you know, it'll possibly draw like a broader crowd as far as, you know, we'll have our standard MCP and the timelines, and that might not overlap a whole lot, which will be kind of cool as far as like player bases go.
Yeah, like I mean, I know Lexa will be running it, but I mean, it's an event that kind of appeals to people like Lexa as well, where she wants to experiment with different things. She wants a new challenge on roster building that's, you know, yep, not necessarily just play all of the best characters.
Well, it'll be a different meta. I mean, because, yeah, you know, because of the limitations, it's going to feel like, you know, a very different game of MCP, which will be interesting.
Yeah. And if you, I mean, I would say if you're someone who's going into the LCQ and you're hoping to qualify for the Invitational, but if you grind through the LCQ and you don't quite get in, if you brought the 3 lists for timeline, this could end up being a really cool alternative to maybe give you a jump start and get you some experience ready before Adepticon runs it, that sort of thing. And it could be a nice palate cleanser. Just, hey, let's do something different. And I'm kind of excited about it because sometimes when you're playing some of these other characters that don't get into lists as often, sometimes you find gems and it inspires a whole new roster. And yes, I'm really excited to see what comes out of timelines. And if there's a character that we've all kind of underrated and then it'll hit in timelines and then kind of make its way into the larger meta, maybe Blob or something. Right.
Yeah.
Who's been kind of overlooked a bit. I mean, who knows? But excited to see how that goes. But then we're going to have then starting at 11, that'll be dice at 11, is going to be the gymnastics format, which is our kind of custom format. Be mostly the same as last year. The concept is that any character can take a gem. Gems are not something that you have to put into your roster details. Even if it's a normal character like Thanos, you will be able to build your team with any gems that you want all throughout the event. And one character, when you build your squad, one character gets a gem for free, so you can always, you know, stick space gem on Scarlet Witch and she's still a 5 threat. You get one of those at least, but then you can still pay for the gems on other characters as well. And then we have a couple small rules that Malekith can't take gems, CGR can't take gems, and you cannot put the Power Stone on Wong or on Doctor Strange.
Yep. Yeah, so no portal, no first turn portals.
Yeah, we don't want it to be the pentagrams format. But that should be, it was a lot of fun for people last year. I always like hearing the stories of what worked and what didn't. And
yeah, it's just craziness. You know, it's not competitive. It's just supposed to be fun. You just think up, you know, whatever crazy combos you want to do, and you just play a game and you have fun.
It's still normal MCP, but you get some ways to kind of do fun things with your favorite character. And now there's some new stuff. Like, what does the Space Stone do on Sentinel Prime when he has his own place effect? And, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there's all kinds of great stuff. Yeah, and, you know, not even talking about, like, Korbox 2 and, you know, all the craziness you can go on in there with.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of fun. And now, what about Space Stone on Black Bolt? Like, that could be really interesting. There's a lot of fun stuff to try, and I just think it'll be a fun format. Or, oh man, what about New Carol with the Power Stone?
Oh,
oh my god, that would be super fun. Oh man, sorry Tyson, I'm not going to judge the Invitational. I got to go play me some Carol too with the Power Stone.
Yeah, that'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, and then obviously there will be the scrambles and stuff going on that day.
Yep.
But that'll be those will be the primary side events for Saturday. And then Sunday, we will have the continuation of the Timelines event. That's not going to be a new event. That will be a continuation of the event on Saturday. And then there will also be a 3-person team event.
Yes.
That will have character restrictions between the three players, with a little bit of leniency if we're struggling to, if we're like putting together a team from scratch with just three people from different areas, we will do our best to help people build teams. Tyson, I know you were kind of involved with that last year.
Yeah, a little bit. And then I also have models with me, you know, so if we had to, you know, we can always make something kind of work. But yeah, so putting together, so if, you know, people, a lot of people came up with teams. We had, gosh, how many teams did we have last year?
Was I there think like we had a perfect 16.
Yeah. I mean, so there was a bunch of people playing. So it's a great fun event. And,
yeah, 16 teams,
a lot of
48 people. It was a blast.
Yeah. And then we'll help. So if you have, like, you know, you and a friend and you're missing a person, you know, we were putting together a lot of teams. And then so a lot of times when we put together a team, sometimes they do have like matching characters, or, you know, maybe not the exact same affiliation, but they'll have some similar models, which is fine because it's not a competitive in the sense that there's a prize at the end. If we can, we want to play to the last winner, if we have enough rounds, but probably if it's as well attended as it was last year, we might not be able to go the 4 rounds. Well, I think we can maybe make 4 rounds.
We got through all 4 rounds last
year. Okay, we did? Okay, sweet. Awesome. But then there's always a chance that we do a best of 3 priority roll off to settle who's actually the real winner at the end, just for funsies. But yeah, so that we have the team event, and then in our document, in the event document for LVO, it lists how we do the pairings and you know, it's table setups and all that kind of stuff. We're going to try to plan to have a heavily terrained table, a standard table, and a lightly terrained table to at least make maybe some interesting choices for what teams go on what tables. Don't know if it'll be worth it or not, but we'll, you know, solicit some player feedback at the end and see if they like it. But so we just don't have all the same standard tables that we usually do in a tournament. Might be kind of fun.
Yeah, where we set up the team event is going to have like fairly different tables and maybe slightly weirder. And that'll be stuff that we kind of mess with Saturday night or Sunday morning. And Lexa certainly enjoys building some stranger table combinations. And so we will try to make that one very different, and happy to, you know, even if you just want to shoot me a message or something after the event, or Lexa or Tyson, it'll just be nice to know how that goes. 'Cause that is something we would like to keep doing the team event. It's been, you know, it was really an exciting, like, kind of perfect event last year. And yeah, we'd really like to keep pushing the envelope with that. Team events are a blast.
Yep. And then after everything's all cleaned up, then we'll have the after party to be determined of what type. But I think that's most of it.
Yeah. You want to talk about mats?
Yeah, mats and painting and terrain tables. I'm trying to see where's my information for the painting. Painting competition. Here we go. So I'm going to change the way the painting competition works this year. Instead of taking over the stream table between one rounds and trying to get it all done during then and taking pictures, Saturday, I'm going to do a single model and also making sure it's announced well to all the other players that aren't in the championship, because they're in the middle of other events. So it makes it a lot harder for them to participate in the painting competition. And I want everyone to at least have the chance. So Saturday, I'm going to be doing a single model painting competition between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. And so you can come over, bring your model. I'll take a picture of it with your information, and then I'll do the judging. So you can kind of either leave the model there if you don't need it right away, or I'm going to bring a backdrop and lights, and so I can get pretty good pictures of stuff. And I'll remember the models too as I look at them. It's not a perfect situation where you have all the models in front of you, but I want people to be able to play and still be able to participate. So it's kind of a little bit of give and take there. And then Sunday, I'll do the full squad painting competition, again, between 10 and 1. So you can bring a full squad over. I can take pictures of it right away, you know, between one of your games, and then give it right back to you if it's the one you're playing with. And as far as, like, I don't have a criteria specifically for what I'm, you know, like a listed criteria for the painting competition. But generally what we look for is, you know, smooth blends, well-defined areas of color on the model. You know, the model reads well at distance and close. The small details, textures, finished bases, the nice little touches. You know, painting styles don't matter as much as far as, like, hey, I'm going to, you know, always pick something that's non-metallic metal versus something that's true metallic metal. And then as far as, like, the full squads, I also look at, like, displays. Someone made, you know, a few people made some really cool displays for their models last year. Someone had, like, a criminal's bank vault heist going on.
So
and then
cool.
There was, and then there was the ruin. I think it was Farmer that won the painting competition, if I remember, with, like, that destroyed city display. Yeah,
he had turned the OG Rivals panel into a board, basically.
Yeah.
And so he had turned the Rivals panel into a board, and it was a Web Warriors team. And Farmer's just a really good painter too, and so it all came together really well.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the one that won. So there's quite a, you know, there's four or five people, you know, definitely in the full army display or the full army squad competition. Having a display helps. It doesn't need to be huge. It can be simple and it can be minimal. It just, you know, if it fits really well with the characters, you know, that always helps too in that format.
I saw someone, I don't know if it was at Adepticon or if it was at WTC, but they had made the bunker from the Weapon X bundle into a tray, right? Because it has four slots on it for characters. And then they built it into their tray. And so then it just kind of expanded out into this snowy rock terrain. It looked really cool. I was very impressed. I thought it was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. I mean, so there's all kinds of, you know, great ideas you can do. You know, like, I have a display board where I took a large basalt columned terrain piece, and then I cut down, like, you know, move or slots in for all the characters, and they got, like, this big magic portal behind them. You know, so there's all kinds of fancy stuff you could do if you really want to go for it.
Tyson, what if the Wakanda Rivals panel releases in January and someone makes it into a display board?
That would be awesome. Like, that would be a really cool display board, because you'd have enough. Now, granted, you'd probably need to convert most of your models over to water bases for down below, but you could do, like, a water beach theme below, and then you have your two people up top. That'd be really sick. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Oh, I'm just getting hyped. Not even like that good of a painter, and I'm still hyped about this. So,
And then I take pictures of everything and I post it all, you know, anything that gets submitted, gets their pictures posted for all the people to, you know, look at and have fun with, and, you know, kind of the community engagement of like, hey, here's all the really cool stuff that was at LVO and the cool people that painted them.
Yep. Absolutely. So, man, I was kind of worried this was going to take longer, but we kind of knocked it out. Was there anything else that we needed to cover in this, Tyson?
I was talking about the painting competition, and I knew there was something else too that I listed but I forget what that was. But terrain and at the end of the convention, we sell all the maps. Last year, all the maps were gone super fast. And everyone loved them. The frontline gaming mats that have the pre-marked scenarios on them that we use. And those will be available at the end of the convention. What I'm going to probably change the way I do it is I'll have an inventory of mats. And throughout the weekend, I will have an Excel list that you say, hey, you come up and you say, I want this mat, this mat, this mat. And I'll put your names by them and a phone number. And I'm going to keep the tally that way versus the blue tape that we did last year that worked okay, but there were some problems with it. And also you're interrupting people during their games and all that other stuff, which I wanted to avoid. And then I plan to also have, I sold a few tables of terrain last year, and I plan to, I think, offer some tables of terrain this year too. So it'd be a mat, and it'll be either one of the off-world tables where it's the rocks and the mushrooms and the crystals and that kind of stuff. And then the other one would be the industrial. So it's all those industrial kind of sci-fi buildings, because that stuff's really easy for me to recreate. Won't be any of the city stuff at all, because screw painting windows. If I don't have to paint another window in my life, that's good. And then I will probably be able to sell the frontline gaming, because we're gonna have a bunch of the frontline gaming MDF printed, color printed terrain too that they're providing this year, and they'd probably be willing to sell that too. I'll have to talk to them and figure out what that looks like, but that could be an option also. So if
also
you want some terrain,
the mats sell below cost.
Yes.
Or below the normal retail.
Yeah, they don't come with a bag, and they're usually like $35 or $40 a piece, and then usually we'll do like a bundle, like three mats for $100 or something like that, is kind of what I did last year. So I'm assuming it's going to be something similar.
Yeah.
So save some room. Save some room in your backpack, save some room in your luggage.
Yeah, it works out pretty well. And honestly, these mats are pretty durable, so you can kind of finagle them a little bit. Like, I've done things where I just kind of curve them around the edge of my, like, roll them up and then curve them around the edge of my suitcase. And then just once I got back, then I took them out and laid them out flat, and it's totally fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the neoprene will flatten out after a little bit. You know, as long as you don't keep it rolled up in a suitcase for a month.
Don't leave it in the suitcase for a month. But yeah. So. All right, Tyson, well, I think we knocked out all the stuff. Obviously, we have an LVO channel in the Danger Room, in the main fan server, on my Discord. There's a bunch of places. So if you see a LVO channel, feel free to, you know, post any additional questions in any of those. Both of our emails are on the registration list, like for when you buy a badge and that sort of thing. Oh, do you want to just cover real quick what you need to buy from Frontline Gaming? Because that's always gets a couple of questions.
Yeah. So I did put a post up with links in the main Facebook and all the Discords of like, hey, here's, you know, the MCP stuff. So they have at the minimum, you need the $25 door pass for LVO, which lets you to walk in the doors. And then you will need to buy our weekend pass for MCP, which is $55. So you're in it for $80 for the whole weekend. Our ticket lets you play in any and all events all weekend. So you don't have to buy separate tickets for each little event you want to play in. And then with the caveat that, you know, you have to pre-qualify for championship, And that's all you need. They do have packages. They have a bundle package. I think that, you know, probably comes with like some shot glasses and a t-shirt and, you know, stickers and dice and all this other stuff. That is all you need. There's tons of stuff going on at LVO. And then also there will probably be a secondary MCP after party ticket once I get that all sorted, that they'll add there. And I'll make sure to announce that in the link for that too, once that's available.
Awesome. Well, hype. Literally, I'm going to be arriving in Vegas less than 2 months from now.
I know. The anxiety is building for me. I'm looking at the piles of terrain to paint and a giant special project that I have to do that's like going to eat up all my time. And so it'll be fun, but you know, that's what I sign up for.
Yeah, totally. And last year I kind of prioritized going out for dinners, and honestly that was super expensive last year. I spent a lot of money in Vegas going out and buying drinks, but this year I think I'm going to prioritize hanging out a little bit afterwards and hopefully getting some games in the evening.
That'll be fun. I mean there are ways to do Vegas on the cheap. Like Belle and I will bring our cooler, I mean, because we drive out, so with a whole bunch of food, and you know, we eat breakfasts in the room, and even flying, if you pack smart, you know, you can kind of keep yourself sustained throughout the weekend, and also going off strip helps, but we're kind of, you know, the Rio's a little bit on the edge, but I believe like a block or two away, there's like a strip mall with food and stuff like that too. So there's ways, you know, if you get out of the casino, where you get quickly back down to normal prices.
Yeah. Gets fairly, you actually surprised how quick. I went for some walks in the area. It goes to not strip very fast. And you're like, oh, we're in normal shit real quick.
Yeah. It's like one block. Yeah. Like you walk one block away from the strip and then it's like normal Vegas almost.
Not the first year, but 2022, there was a bunch of us who went out for a dinner at Denny's. Mm-hmm. It was a Sunday night. And honestly, that was one of my favorite LVO experiences.
Well, they have big tables there and it's not super expensive.
Yeah.
And they might even have booze because it's Vegas.
Yeah. It is kind of, if you've never been to Vegas, like there's something really funny about like walking into a Taco Bell and they're blasting club music and you can buy alcohol, and like some of it is just giant basically slushies with alcohol in it. This is probably barely any alcohol, but it's still funny.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely a different experience.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we can wrap up this main episode. Tyson, I just want to, you know, on behalf of everyone, we just appreciate everything that you do to make LVO happen.
Well, thank you.
Cannot imagine the full amount of work you do.
It's kind of crazy, but you know, I manage and it's worth it. I enjoy doing it for the community. Really, if the community wasn't worth it, I would have been out of this, you know, a long time ago.
Yeah. We say it a lot. You go to conventions and you come for tournaments and games, and then you end up coming back because you just love the community.
Yes.
All right, listeners. Well, I'm going to close out shop here, and I'm going to say the most OP thing that you could do is you can come to LVO and you find Tyson and you thank him so much for everything he does for LVO that the man literally blushes.
Aww.
That would be the most OP thing you could do. Later, nerds.